So Jesus arrived into Jerusalem with the people waving palm branches and yelling, "Save us!" And just a few days later, this happened. When it was time, Jesus sat down, all the apostles with him, and said, "You've no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter into my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he blessed it and then said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." Taking bread, he blessed it. He broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood, blood poured out for you."
"Do you realize that the hand of the one who is betraying me is at this moment on this table? It's true, the Son of Man is going down a path already marked out. No surprise there. But for the one who turns him in, turns traitor to the Son of Man, this is doomsday." They immediately became suspicious of each other and began quizzing one another, wondering who might be about to do this. And within minutes, they were bickering over who of them would be the greatest. But Jesus intervened. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you.
"Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as one who serves. And you've stuck with me through thick and thin. Now I confer on you the royal authority of the Father, the same authority the Father conferred upon me, so you can eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and be strengthened as you take up responsibilities among the congregations of God's people."
"Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I've prayed for you in particular, that you may not give in or give out. When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give a fresh start." Peter said, "Master, I'm ready for anything with you. I'd go to jail for you. I'd die for you." Jesus said, "I'm sorry to tell you this, Peter, but before the rooster crows, you will have three times denied that you know me."
Then Jesus said, "When I sent you out and told you to travel light, to take only the bare necessities, did you get along all right?" "Certainly," they said, "we got along just fine." And he said, "This is different. Get ready for trouble. Look to what you'll need. There are difficult times ahead. Pawn your coat and get a sword. What was written in Scripture, 'He was lumped in with the criminals,' gets its final meaning in me. Everything written about me is now coming to a conclusion." And they said, "Look, Master, two swords." But he said, "Enough of that. No more sword talk."
Leaving there, he went, as so often he did, to the Mount Olives. The disciples followed him. When they arrived at the place, he said, "Pray that you don't give in to temptation." He pulled away from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. Father, remove this cup from me, but please, not what I want. What do you want? At once an angel from heaven was at his side, strengthening him. He prayed on all the harder. Sweat wrung from him like drops of blood poured off his face. He got up from the prayer, went back to the disciples, and found them asleep, drugged by grief. He said, "What business do you have sleeping? Get up, pray, so that you won't give in to temptations."
And no sooner were the words out of his mouth than a crowd showed up. Judas, the one from the 12, was in the lead. He came right up to Jesus and kissed him. And Jesus said, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those with him saw what was happening, they said, "Master, shall we fight?" And one of them took a swing at the chief priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Jesus said, "Let them be. Even in this, let them be." And then, touching the servant's ear, he healed him.
Jesus spoke to those who had come, high priests, temple police, religion leaders. "What is this, jumping me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? Day after day I've been with you in the temple, and you have not so much as lifted a hand against me. But do it your way. It's a dark night, a dark hour." Arresting Jesus, they marched off with him and took him into the house of the chief priest.
Peter followed, but at a safe distance. In the middle of the courtyard, some people had started a fire and were sitting around trying to keep warm. One of the serving maids sitting at the fire noticed him and then took a second look at him. This man was with him. And Peter denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." A short time later, someone else noticed him and said, "You're one of them." But Peter denied it. "Man, I am not." About an hour later, someone else spoke up, really adamant. "He's got to be. He's got to have been with him. He's got Galilean written all over him." And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." At that very moment, the last words hardly off his lips, a rooster crowed. And just then the master turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered what the master had said to him. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out. And he cried, and he cried, and he cried.
The men in charge of Jesus began poking fun at him, slapping him around. They put a blindfold on him and taunted, "Who hit you that time?" They were having a grand time with him. When it was morning, the religious leaders of the people and the high priests and the scholars all got together and brought him before their high council. They said, "Are you the Messiah?" He answered, "If I said yes, you wouldn't believe me. If I asked you what you meant by your question, you wouldn't answer me. So here's what I have to say. From here on, the Son of Man takes his place at God's right hand, the place of power." They all said, "So you admit your claim to be Son of God?" "You're the one who keeps saying it," he said. But they had made up their minds. "Why do we need any more evidence? We've all heard him as good as say it himself."
Then they all took Jesus to Pilate and began to bring up charges against him. They said, "We found this man undermining our law and order, forbidding taxes to be paid to Caesar, setting himself up as a Messiah, king. And Pilate asked him, "Is this true, that you're the king of the Jews?" "Those are your words, not mine," Jesus said.
Pilate told the high priest and the accompanying crowd, "I find nothing wrong here. He seems harmless enough to me." But they were vehement. "He's stirring up unrest among the people with his teaching, disturbing the peace everywhere. Starting in Galilee and now in Judea, he's a dangerous man, endangering the peace." When Pilate heard that, he asked, "So he's a Galilean?" Realizing that he properly came under Herod's jurisdiction, he passed the buck to Herod, who just happened to be in Jerusalem for the next few days.
Herod was delighted when Jesus showed up. He'd wanted for a long time to see Jesus. He'd heard so much about him. He hoped to see him do something spectacular. He peppered him with questions, and Jesus didn't answer. Not one word. But the high priests and religion scholars were right there, saying their piece, strident and shrill in their accusations. Mightily offended, Herod turned on Jesus. His soldiers joined in, taunting and jeering. Then they dressed him in an elaborate king costume and sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became thick as thieves. Always before, they'd kept their distance.
Then Pilate called in the high priests, the rulers, and the others and said, "You brought this man to me as a disturber of the peace. I examined him in front of all of you and found there was nothing to your charge. And neither did Herod, for he has sent him back here with a clean bill of health. It's clear that he's done nothing wrong, let alone anything deserving of death. I'm going to warn him to watch his step and let him go." At that, the crowd went wild. "Kill him! Give us Barabbas!" Barabbas had been thrown in prison for starting a riot in the city and for murder. Pilate still wanted to let Jesus go, and so he spoke again, but they kept shouting back, "Crucify, crucify him!" He tried a third time. "But for what crime? I have found nothing in him deserving of death. I'm going to warn him to watch his step and let him go." But they kept at it, a shouting mob demanding that he be crucified, and finally they shouted him down. And Pilate caved, and he gave them what they wanted. He released the man thrown in prison for rioting and murder, and he gave them Jesus to do whatever they wanted.
As they let him off, they made Simon, a man from Cyrene, who happened to be coming in from the countryside, carry the cross behind Jesus. A huge crowd of people followed, along with women weeping and carrying on. At one point, Jesus turned to the women and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. The time is coming when they'll say, 'Lucky the woman who never conceived. Lucky the wombs who never gave birth. Lucky the breasts that never gave milk.' Then they'll start calling to the mountains, 'Fall down on us,' and calling to the hills, 'Cover us up.' If people do these things to a live green tree, can you imagine what they'll do with dead wood?"
Two others, both criminals, were taken along with him for execution. When they got to the place called Skull Hill, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left.
Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Dividing up his clothes, they threw dice for them. The people stood there staring at Jesus, and the ringleaders made faces taunting, "He saved others. Let's see if he can save himself. The Messiah of God? Ha! The chosen?" Soldiers also came up and poked fun at him, making a game of it. They toasted him with sour wine. "So you're the king of the Jews? Save yourself. Printed over him was a sign. This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals hanging alongside cursed him. Some Messiah you are. Save yourself. Save us.
But the other one made him shut up. Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this. But not him. He did nothing to deserve this. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And he said, don't worry, I will. Today, you will join me in paradise.
By now, it was noon. The whole earth became dark. The darkness lasted 3 hours, a total blackout. The temple curtain split right down the middle. Jesus called loudly, Father, I place my life into your hands. And then he breathed his last. When the captain there saw what had happened, he honored God. This man was innocent, a good man and innocent.
All who had come around as spectators to watch the show, when they saw what actually happened, were overcome with grief and headed home. Those who knew Jesus well, along with the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a respectful distance and kept vigil.
There was a man by the name of Joseph, a member of the Jewish High Council, a man of good heart and of good character. He had not gone along with the plans and actions of the council. His hometown was the Jewish village of Arimathea. He lived in alert expectation of the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Taking him down, he wrapped him in a linen shroud and placed him in a tomb chiseled into the rock, a tomb never yet used. It was the day before Sabbath, the Sabbath just about to begin.
The women who had been his companions of Jesus from Galilee followed along. They saw the tomb where Jesus' body was placed, and then they went back to prepare burial spices and perfumes. They rested quietly on the Sabbath as commanded.